Hello, everybody. Now it's time that we review our news review and what we're reviewing tonight, yellow vest protest movements throughout France and other countries. Now, violent anti-government protests have erupted once again in France, now for a 9th consecutive weekend. In the capital, Paris alone, police have used water cannon, tear gas, and rubber bullets to disperse protesters. Have a look. And police arrested dozens of people before and during the protests in Paris. Clashes also broke out between security forces and protesters in the cities of Bordeaux, Nantes, and Bourges. French officials have vowed zero tolerance for violence. The demonstrators say they will continue the protests until their demands are met. The Yellow Vest rally started in mid-November as a simple protest against planned fuel hikes, but then soon morphed into mass government demonstrations. And now joining us is Frank Emspach, executive director with the Workers Independent News out of Madison. And next to him, out of London, Mr. Rodney Shakespeare, commentator and professor of economics. Hello, gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on the program. And now we're going to start.
Thank you.
And now we're going to start with you, Frank. Initially, the protest, the very first week back in mid-November, we saw about 600 to 800 people show up in the streets. Every week, it's practically grown exponentially. Then we saw, 1,800 early January, we're at 3,500. Today, we saw over 8,000 people. Why is this movement gaining so much steam so rapidly?
Well, that's 8,000, 10,000 in Paris. It's 80,000 or more around the country, because this movement has tapped into the basic feeling that people are getting screwed or getting hurt by the government. Wages are frozen. In spite of what the government has said, there's no real fix. The taxation system was skewed last year in favor of the rich. There is undercutting of various social services. There is a diminution of the state in the sense of rail service, postal service, rural hospitals. All of these things are being undermined by the Macron administration, and people have said, we're not going to take it. We've had it. And then the administration has responded really by cracking down and making announcements that, they're not going to tolerate demonstrations. One final thing, violence. The government talks about violence. 1,700 yellow vest people have been wounded, according to their own statistics. So you're having intransigence on the part of the government, and you're having a really legitimate issue being raised. Why is our standard of living falling and the rich are getting richer? And that is what is powering this movement.
But why not Hollande? Well, actually, if you could, Frank, let me put this to Mr. Rodney Shakespeare. Look at this guy. He's got his pants down. Mr. Rodney Shakespeare, really quick to you, why not Hollande's government? Why have they focused, and why has Macron taken such a blow, his popularity, his policies, his austerity? Why now?
Look, this afternoon, the press TV, the excellent Ramin Mazahiri, he said that the government was organizing public debates and they would not be discussing economics. I jumped up from my seat in rage, and I've gone and I checked it. Yes, the government is holding a national debate and they are going to discuss taxes. That means the fuel tax, which they put on and have taken off. And then the second subject is green energy, which means discussing putting on the tax. They're not going to discuss temporary jobs, pension levels, which they're going to cut further. They're not going to discuss unemployment benefit, welfare benefit, which they're going to cut further. They're not going to discuss the unemployment rate of the youth, which is at least 20%. It's going to be a painting glossing over it. Now, in 1789, King Louis XVI, he called national debates, and he tried the same trick, trying to talk and then not control the conversation and suppress. And the result was he ended up with his head being cut off. So there you are. This is economic. Macron is trying to suppress the economic discussion. It isn't going to work. It is, over time, going to get worse.
And Frank, I want to put that question to you. The professor there alluded to the fact that January 15th, we're going to have a national debate to try to quell this thing. Do you think Macron has any, you know, any concessions he can offer or any kind of reform that could nip this thing in the bud? Where's your level of optimism?
Well, there are certainly ones he could offer. The question is whether he'll do it. And what he's done so far with talking about this $1 billion or 1 billion euro, various changes and stuff, basically does not go to the issue. It's not even returning everything that's been taken. And he has never agreed to put the new taxation. This is taxes he worked out 2 years ago or so that transferred money basically from the poor to the rich and put the government in a situation where they then say, gee, in order to do environmental stuff, we're going to have a regressive fuel tax. Had they not screwed around with the taxes in the first place and given the money to the rich, essentially, they'd have the kind of funds needed for the investment in infrastructure, for the green investment, and for all the things that people are talking about. Macron has never agreed to rediscuss the tax issue, and I think that's crucial. Secondly, he has not moved off one iota over increasingly rapid efforts to privatize the rail, postal, and medical systems. So he's still on this neoliberalism course, and there's no indication in anything the government has said that really to move off of that. But they have said that they're going to move to a situation of saying no protests are legal. Well, the last people that did that in the last 10 or 15 years was in the Ukraine.
Okay, gentlemen, I want to ask.
And look what happened.
I'm going to ask you both to hold on for a second. We run this package really quick. Now, inspired by France's Yellow Vest movement, now thousands of protesters gathered in London calling for a general election to remove Prime Minister Theresa May from power. The demonstrators say that their government, amid this Brexit turmoil, is destroying the social, economic, and political fabric of the UK, and that radical changes are needed to save the nation. So, Mr. Shakespeare, since we're in your backyard right now, you know, with respect to London, my question is going to be to you, sir. Is this really, you know, kind of restricted to France, or it seems like we've seen them in Belgium, we've seen them in Spain, we've seen them actually in the Middle East as well. We're seeing a lot of countries follow suit with this Yellow Vest movement. Is this, what is this a sign, a symbol of? Is this, are we seeing that global elitism is completely, you know, squeezing out the working class and people are left with nothing except for the option to take to the streets and complain?
And you left out the USA. You see, behind this, there are two big factors. Technology and the policies of the trickle down are, first of all, are leading to lower incomes for the poor and insecure. But this has now hit the middle classes. And that explains the extraordinary politics in the USA, where Trump got elected. And it also explains the result for Brexit in the UK. It was economic insecurity, economic rage, which led to these results. So, and in France, the reason why the Macron should be very, very wary as what is happening is there's this sort of movement. The actual leaders, even though they may keep their heads down, they tend to be in the middle classes, and the middle classes in France are losing badly. And you're getting the same sort of patterns in the Yellow Vests as with the Five Star Movement in Italy. And they're worth about 25-27% of the population. So, and you could then get the another lot going across to the National Front and under its new name. So there you are then. It is very much universal. It is ultimately about what you call globalization. It's the financial structures. It doesn't have to be like this at all, but it's going on, and it's going to get worse.
And Professor, thank you. And let me just get, Frank, I'm going to let you get the last word in. We got less than a minute. Mr. Amspach, your thoughts on this thing ballooning into a global movement?
It's a global movement. It often started with the Arab Spring. People were demanding direct democracy. They were saying, we're a majority and we're losing. And the fact is that middle class and working class wages have stagnated or fallen, and people want something done. The alternatives that they had with the political system had nothing to do, or very little to do, with their real needs. And now they're demanding to move out of that system. They're demanding direct democracy. They're demanding referenda. This is a direct threat to the Macron government. And we'll see what happens. But this is true elsewhere as well. And I think we'll see growing movements, particularly in France, if the government decides to crack down on people and say demonstrations are just not going to happen. That's not going to be. And we're going to see a real upheaval. I think you're moving towards a 1968 moment in France as we speak.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you both for joining us. Rodney Shakespeare, commentator and professor of economics, joining us out of London, and Frank Emsbach, executive director with the Workers Independent News, joining us there out of Madison in the States. And that's a wrap for your news review, everyone. Thanks for joining us, and bye-bye.